Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke and chapter 11. Here in Luke in chapter 11, I hope and I trust that I'm going to be able to challenge you. I just know there's a lot of prayerlessness in the family of God, and I want to challenge you concerning prayer. There are too many careless Christians missing God's best. You have not because ye ask not. And I know I can preach this hard, and it's going to hit everybody right between the eyes. Because who here prays enough? Who here spends enough time in their prayer closet? Who here boldly goes to the throne of grace and prays down the blessings of God? How many of us along life's pathway, we have settled for less than God's best because we weren't smart enough to ask our Heavenly Father for help or ask our Heavenly Father for provisions? And He tells us and He challenges us, man, you come to me. You just ask me for things. Call upon me and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And here it is. Take this to heart, Christian. If I can challenge you to be a prayer warrior, or just go ahead and do it in your own strength. Just bounce through life, get all bruised up and broken bones spiritually, just kind of bounce off some brick walls. Man, but God says, if you'll come to me, I will meet your need and I'll show you things that you cannot begin to imagine. So let me start this out before I read a single verse here out of Luke in chapter 11. We have a lot in front of us at Fundamental Baptist Church. Our plate is full and getting fuller. I pinch myself. Man, what God is doing here is over the top. And we have got to, listen to your preacher now, we have got to bathe this ministry in prayer. We have got to go to the God of heaven, who happens to be our Heavenly Father, and His Son happens to be our intercessor, our advocate, and the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He speaks with things that we cannot even physically groan with English language, and He knows exactly what the need is. But He sees His praying people in their prayer closet alone or corporately at prayer meeting and asking God for great things, and heaven moves at that. Heaven does great things at that. This building project is going on right now, and we're going to have some seats to fill up here before the end of the summer. We need God's power. I'll tell you something, this blows my mind. I just this morning I was praying, walking around the auditorium. God, this is too good. You're too good to me. You're giving me things I just dreamed, something I never even dreamed about, and something I just kind of dream about a little bit, hoping it's going to happen. And Lord, it seems like it's all coming to fruition, all at one time. This will blow your mind, and you'll think, how did this happen? And I'm just telling you, it's the hand of God. We were contacted by way of email by some Christian brothers and sisters about having an FM radio station here over a year ago. And, you know, I told Caroline, well, fill out the paperwork. You know, they're just asking to fill in blanks. If it's a scam, we'll pull out at any time. Ain't no problem. I went down to Liberty Baptist Church in Rochester, and they got a brand new radio tower being put up, big tower in their back of their property. I said, what's this about? Well, we're starting an FM radio program. I said, you're kidding. How's that happening? Hey, that name sounds familiar. He said, yeah, they pay for everything. They come in, they put the tower up. It's an FM radio station. It's good conservative radio, but it's your station. You plug in everything you want, but they've got stuff that's syndicated and stuff that there's a wealthy man. So I said, man, that sounds like the same group. So I called and talked to the man yesterday. I basically said this within the first three lines. Hey, is this a scam? He said, I assure you, this is not a scam. I said, well, what's the story? And he gave me the same story they gave me down there. There's a wealthy man in Wisconsin, a benefactor who remains anonymous, and he's paying for FM stations all over rural America for churches that are old-time religion churches, still using the King James Version, da-di-da-di-da. I said,
Is our name on that list? He said, yes, it is. You're number three right now. He said, everything is done. FCC, everything is done. Next thing is a building permit and then the green light from you. I said, okay, all right, you call me. We're in. I was afraid I missed it. I was afraid I was dragging my feet. So we got things to be praying about. There's going to be an FM radio station from the property of Fundamental Baptist Church. It is going to be the station will belong to this church. We're going to be able to do everything from broadcasting ball games and trying to be good to the community and broadcasting good old time preaching and good old time music. I'm excited. You know, we're going to reach some people that we never dreamed we would reach ever. It's like God is enlarging our tent. Hey, it's going to happen this summer. We're not talking a long ways out. We have got to be a people of prayer. Go to Luke in chapter 11. Stand with me because you've been sitting for a little while. I've actually gone a little longer than I wanted. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Father, again, we ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. There's an untapped resource, unlimited goodness of God. And all we need to do is ask him. And heaven, the angels rejoice when those prayers are answered. The saints of God in heaven, the family of God, they take notice. Jesus, you know, God the Father leans forward on his throne to hear the prayers of his children that he loves. The devil, demons quake. The devil cowers in a corner. We have a source, we have a resource of worship and supplication that the world knows nothing about. There's not enough mass media that could replace the power of prayer. There's not enough power in the hands of man anywhere in this world, put it all together, all in one place, that will match the power of God that moves in answer to prayer. It says here in verse 1, it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that he is Jesus. Jesus, the God, the Son, was speaking to God the Father. And it must have been an event because the disciples did not interrupt him. I read that here in the first verse. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, the disciples waited. He's talking to the Father. He's talking to God. He's approaching the throne. And they yearned to be able to talk to the Father like that. And once Jesus had ceased his prayers, they came up to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to do that. We want to know how to come to the throne of God. Oh man, I pray that somehow, some way, the spiritual being within you, that new man within you, longs to be in the presence of God. Longs to ask God for great things. I want you to know that God wants to bless your family. God wants to bless your household. God wants to bless your church. God wants to reach your neighbors. But we never ask for it. We're too trite with God. I feel that sometimes, I know this is true, we pray like we worship a small God. And of course, that is absolutely wrong. So he says, teach us to pray. Again, we have a mighty tool, a mighty resource of worship and petition. We must commune with God. We must. Now listen, if you're here watching live stream, listening to radio broadcasts, and you're not born again, you're outside the family of God. The only prayer that God will hear on your behalf that you pray is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You need to get born again. You need to get saved. You need to become part of the family of God. That is a moment of repentance where you call out to God knowing Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And he'll forgive you. And he'll come into your heart. And he'll come into your life and he'll change you forever. And your name will be recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, after you get saved, we're commanded in the Scripture to read our Bibles, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. We are also commanded in the Scriptures to spend time in prayer, to have a prayer closet, to have a time like we have a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Let me ask you this. How long has it been since you've been in a prayer closet? You alone with God. You talking to God without interruption, without your cell phone on, without the TV on, the computer on, alone, just you and God? And how much time have you spent there? How long has it been since you've been to prayer meeting at Fundamental Baptist Church? And you got with God's people corporately and prayed. Some people mistakenly think that's not a big event. And it is. Without God's people going to God, going to the throne in prayer, everything just turns into program. That's all it is. And that's not what we're about here. We want Holy Spirit punch. We want the breath of heaven upon this ministry. And in order to have that, we got to learn to pray. And we need to pray to the person of God. It says in verse 2, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, I know you know this. Some of you have been going to church here for a while, and you know this. What we're reading in Luke in chapter 11 is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John in chapter 17. That's a different message. This is a model prayer. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. We want to know how to approach God. Here's what you do. The first thing you know is you need to know who God is. Hallowed be thy name. He's a holy God. Isaiah chapter 6. We have no right to go to the throne of God apart from his son, Jesus Christ. We have no right to have an audience with the King of Kings, with the God of Gods, with the Lord of the universe. We have no right to have that audience. He said, you don't forget this. When you go to God in prayer, you're not praying to the big guy upstairs. You're praying to the holy God of heaven. You're praying to the God that we have no access to apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, just broken, lost people. But Jesus came to this world. And he's our advocate and our mediator. And he made a way. And I've got the righteousness of Jesus all over me. And I get the Holy Spirit living within me. Now he invites us to pray. But he said, when you pray, you remember this. He's a holy God. Our prayers often reveal our inadequate view of God. And that's to our chagrin. That's on our part. That's wrong. It also says in verse 2, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Pray for God's program. We pray small. And we ought not to pray small. I'll say this. God's interested in the little things. He's interested in the little things. And you know, if there's two sparrows and one falls from the sky, Jesus said, our Heavenly Father knows about it. He's interested in the little insignificant things in your life, and you ought to live in that realm of prayer. Have that bubble of prayer all around you all of the time. But because of our lack of faith, we often don't ask God for big things. The big things. I mean, let's win this world to Christ. Let's change this eastern end of the Upper Peninsula and down below the bridge as well. Man, let's stop praying small. Thy kingdom come. It also says here, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. The purpose of God. Ought to be a little bit of heaven here in this world by way of the church of Jesus Christ, by way of the family of God. That this world of darkness in which we live, they ought to see Jesus right here on this hilltop. They ought to see Jesus when I go to Walmart and I practice the presence of God. As a child of God, we need to be praying for the purpose of God. Let me summarize some of this. Number one, 2 Peter 3:9. Don't turn there. God is not willing that any should perish. It's his will that everybody gets saved. It's Christ's will. Luke in chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. The church ought to throb and thrive with the power of God. There ought to be meat in the storehouse. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. We're talking about the plan of God. And everybody ought to be surrendered to God. Romans in chapter 12 and verse 1. That is the purpose. That is the will of God in the year 2024, right here in this world in which we live. The church is supposed to just be vibrant with the power of God. When's the last time you prayed for that? When's the last time you prayed in your prayer closet, God, show the world Jesus through me today? Amen. Man, that doesn't get prayed enough. Instead, it's gimme, gimme, gimme. And there's nothing wrong with that in its place. But first of all, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Hallowed be thy name. All right? So Jesus said, this is how you pray. Don't approach God like he's just another man, like he's just a big brother that might kind of hear some of your prayers. You know you're going to the great, omnipotent, omniscient, holy God of heaven. He's immutable. He's never going to change. And he has the power to answer those prayers. I want to get to that. I got to move along. He is a prayer answering God. Go to verse 3. Give us this day our daily bread. He said, when you pray for God's provision. Understand this. He has unlimited resources. He has unlimited potential in our lives. If we would just go to God, Philippians chapter 4, would you turn over there quickly? Philippians and chapter 4, and verses 6 and 7. I think it's still in my Bible here. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, anxious for nothing, but in everything, little things, big things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I just want to say verse 6 is a command. It's an imperative. There's no excuse for the Christian being anxious and worrying about everything that's out of their control. He said, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can tie that to verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You pray for the provision of God in your life. Uncertain days, that's where we live. You've heard me say this before. I want to say it again. Just in case the economy collapses this summer, the church is recession proof. The church is not tied to the US dollar, which is not almighty. That's why it keeps changing. One day there's going to be a worldwide currency, probably digital. I'm not even going that direction this morning. I'm just saying we have a God in heaven. If the electricity's turned off today, we have a God in heaven that meets our needs, and he hears the prayers of his saints. He says here in verse 3, you pray for those provisions. Give us day by day our daily bread. Then he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us our sins, the pardon of God. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Confess your sins. Agree with God about your sins. Don't hide them. Whosoever covereth his sin shall not prosper. Be an open book before God. That's what a prayer closet will do for you, by the way. You get used to coming into the presence of God, and you realize you're hiding nothing. You're standing before him, clinging to the righteousness of Christ. That's what we have. And you confess your sins instead of making excuse for them. Instead of making allowance for them. You become more like Jesus as you confess your sins. 1 John 1:9, sins are plural. Every day we're guilty. He said, you want to commune with God the Father? You remember he's holy. You want to commune with God the Father? You pray for the program, the purpose. You pray for your daily provisions. You thank God for the pardon that he has given to you and confess your sins on a regular basis. Pray for God's will as far as the path of life. Look at verse 4, end of the verse, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God, I don't want to keep on going into this temptation. I don't want to keep on falling into this sin. Deliver me, oh wretched man that I am. Deliver me from this sin. The disciples were watching. They had observed Jesus pray, no doubt, many times. He is a man of prayer. He starts his 3-year ministry out with prayer. He goes to the mountain again and again to pray in an apart place away from the other disciples. Just him and God, his Father, and communing with God the Father. And he prayed that the disciples would watch from a distance and say, wow, what's going on over there? I just sense something powerful is happening right now. One time when he was done praying, Lord, teach us how to do that. We want to go into your prayer. He says, here's how you do it. You pray to the holy God of heaven. You don't come hiding sin. Something in your back pocket. You pray for the program of God and the purpose of God. Don't pray little. Pray big. Ask God and thank God at the same time for the provisions that he has given to us. Greatest, unappreciated, unused source today in the world is prayer. The result will be peace and power. But that's not where a lot of us live because we're such a careless, prayerless generation of born-again believers. I gotta say this. The cell phone's sucking up way too much time. The internet's sucking up You know why TikTok's so dangerous? Because you're being educated. Sucking up way too much time. As a child of God, spend some time with God alone and corporately. And by the way, I said we've got to bathe everything in front of us in prayer. We got a lot going on this summer. And I'll be up front. I asked for another $100,000 to put on top of the nearly $400,000 we had in order to get all these projects done. And since that time, since the beginning of the year, I believe a little over $45,000 has come in. People sacrificing. God bless you. God bless you. And I've been involved. I'm trying to lead. But God bless you. But I got to tell you, we still need another $100,000. Things keep going up in price. We got to get this thing done quick. Things and then I think of things that, man, maybe we should do this while we're doing this, you know, and trying to do things right is what I'm saying. And so you say, where that $100,000 going to come from? Same place that $45,000 came from, right there, the throne of God. We got to go to God and ask for a miracle so that the Kinross miracle will, and the miracle isn't just the building. It isn't just the $100,000. The miracle is the hundreds of people that will worship here. The hundreds of people with changed lives. The people that will get a vision and say, man, we got to fill up that corner. What big corner of the church over there? We got to get that filled up. We got to get that new area over there filled up. And they get a little vision and they get a little bit aggressive and they lean into evangelism and start testifying and telling others about Jesus. And hey, come on out here preaching. Or let me tell you about the best friend I ever had. I'm telling you, I told you it'd take us 2 years to fill it up. I don't think so. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. This isn't on a limb. If we pray right and we evangelize right, it'll be full by this fall. That's right. It will. Amen. Man, we got a big God. I got to move on here. Pardon of God, pathway of God, and then I want to get to the power of God. Go all the way down to well. Let me read verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. It's called the importunate friend, all right? And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are all with me in bed and I cannot rise and give thee. And of course, this is in Jesus' day. And what he's doing is he's giving an illustration. He said, which of you, if you have a friend come to you and say, hey, listen, I got some long lost travelers, some distant relatives stopped in. I don't have enough food to feed them. How many of you would say to your friend, man, go away. We're done for the night. My door is locked. Go find your own food. None of us would do that. And there is a heavenly Father who, when he hears us pray and have a need, he is better than you and I could be to a neighbor. He's the God of heaven who loves his children. And you say, well, what about this? I prayed and it didn't happen. Let's read on here. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Verse 8 says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. In other words, man, this guy's really in need. He sounds like it. He's still knocking. Man, I got to have something. These people are starving. I want to treat them right. And then Jesus says this, and in the grammatical original language, in the Greek here, in the Textus Receptus, we're going to read a verse here in verse 9, and what he says is, you ask, and you seek, and you knock, and you keep on asking, and you keep on seeking, and you keep on knocking. No answer yet? You ask, and you seek, and you knock. Because you're pounding on the door of heaven, because you are boldly, because of Jesus, you have access to the throne of God. God the Father sees how much you love these people and what your how great your need is. He will build your faith. He will answer that prayer. It says here, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, and again, the Greek there, keeps on asking, keeps on seeking, keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. Asking and receiving. I've shared this in Sunday school. I'll say it real quick. The acronym ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, then supplication. I started this message out by saying, we have got to bathe the ministry in prayer. please hear me. The last thing I want to have happen is it just to turn into cold, empty program. That can't be it. That doesn't change lives. Too many churches are that way. They got a program. They don't have the power of God. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 4 in closing. Hebrews and chapter 4. Let's go to verse 14. Beware of the business of a barren religious life. Don't just go through the motions. You say, preacher, how do I get away from that? Well, be in your Bible and be at the throne of God. Too many, hear me, everybody look up here, are too busy to go to the throne of God. I'll let somebody else cover that. And you lose. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, seeing then we have a great high priest. What's his name? What's the name of our great high priest?
Jesus,
all right? Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't waver. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You understand, God does know what's going on before you even ask. But you have not because you ask not. That careless Christian, not getting God's best because they're not smart enough to ask. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain, say it with me, mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What two things? First one, mercy. Second one, grace. Man, that's what we got. That's what we get to live. That's what's going to help us through life. But we've got to come boldly. And if we come to the throne of God, believe you me, if you know what you're doing, that's bold. Because again, I have no right to be there. Thank God for his Son.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood atonement. Thank God for his mercy. I'd be struck dead. Thank God for his grace. And he says, I'm inviting you. You come. You're living your life. I'm inviting you. You come. Come to the throne. Come and ask. You've got an intercessor. You've got a mediator. You've got a great high priest. He's the high priest. He's the one that's representing you. I'm inviting you, children. You come. You ask of me, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Say, preacher, why are you in such a hurry to get this building done? Because I'm going to die soon. Why are you in such a hurry to have so much happen all over? Because I've only got so much time left. Man, I know that. If I die in 10 years, that's soon for me. You know, if I die in tomorrow, that's probably pretty soon too. You know, if I make it 20 years, who knows what I'll be that last 5 or 10 years? I have no idea. But about, as far as my mental capacity, by the way, how much time do you have left? What about a prayer? What about a prayer warrior? What about a prayer closet? A place where you get alone with God. And like the Old Testament Jew, you know, evening and morning and at noon, 3 times a day. That'd be a lot, wouldn't it? What about prayer meeting? When's the last time you've been in a prayer closet? When's the last time you have been in prayer meeting? Smallest service of the week. I know a lot of things going on Wednesday night with our own ministries and King's Kids and our Grow Kids and youth groups and so on and so forth. But somebody better be holding the ropes. We got a prayer time. And not everybody's working down there. I know that. Or in the gymnasium. Man, we got to have prayer meeting. We've got to go to the throne of God. Hear the preacher this morning. Big things in front of us. A wonderful spring. A great summertime. And into the fall, man, who knows what's going to happen by then. But we've got to bathe this thing in prayer. Untapped resource of unlimited goodness of God. He said, just ask.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.